Well, it is very good to be here this morning. I want to just thank you as a church family for your support for Camp Imadine. And how many have been up on property there? All right? Oh, fantastic. So I got the majority of you up there, and that's wonderful. You know, being up there, one of the great joys of being up at Camp Imadine is what I get to do each morning, and that is wake up and go to my office. I have a cup of coffee, I sit down in my chair, and then I gaze out my window across the lake and that mountain that is there. And when we lived in Enderby, where we came from, there was what is known as the Enderby Cliffs. And I made a commitment to myself.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but we think you're not possibly.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay. Beautiful cliffs.
So I made my commitment that I would look at these cliffs and I wouldn't just look beyond them, that I would see them and look at them as something special. And I've tried to make that commitment with camp property as well. You know how you can kind of get used to something. And I don't want that to be. I want it to be that it is a great blessing to be there, a great privilege to be there. It's not a right, it's a privilege to be there. And so as we're on that property, I feel very blessed to be there. As you support camp, and as you have prayed, and I thank you for your prayer requests that are there, and I would just ask that you continue to pray for those volunteers that come, for our weekly directors, that you have some here with Matthew and Josie, and as you would pray, if you remember to pray for me, somebody says, do you feel like you're standing there, and it's like this whole thing is just going to come down on you? And I said, nope, because I don't know what to experience. And so I'm anticipating a great summer, but I do know that there needs to be great wisdom. And I appreciate what Ed had prayed, that there'd be wisdom, because I noticed that in this ministry it's very fluid and decisions need to be made often and quickly. And you want to be wise in those decisions. So as you pray, you remember for myself that I'd have wisdom. And for Raina and I, as we understand how we can make this happen in our relationship, in our marriage, as camp is demanding, and so how is that I will make sure that I do my part to be a husband to my wife, and that camp, I am not married to camp. I am married to my wife, Raina, and I need to keep that before me. And so you could pray for that. That would be very helpful. Yesterday, we had just over 1,000 people. I think probably as close to 1,100 people up at camp in our open house. And it was fantastic. It was a great day. What was interesting is as people were coming through registration or they were coming through the main gates, one gentleman was asking if they'd been here before. He figures that he had about a third of the people that came up for open house yesterday had never been on camp property before. Isn't that great? And I had people, I was with Rain Abbott at the registration table, talking and asking them about it. And one guy says, well, I'm here because I want to check it out to see if I want to send my kids. And I think that's fantastic. Good. They're coming and checking it out. So there will be lots of children that will be coming up, and this will be their first time. And this will be, am I on?
It's
okay.
It's our end.
No problem.
It's not working.
I can handle that. I've done this before. Yeah. and there'll be lots of kids who hear the gospel for the first time. And what a privilege that is. And we want to be that light. We want to give them Jesus in loving on them and caring for them. And you probably know this. There will be some kids that will be coming, and this week is their safest week. This week is their best week of their whole year when they come. Okay? And so we get to provide that at camp. And your involvement, whether you come up to property or you pray or you support financially, or you do all of those, all of that is so, so important. And I just want to say thank you on behalf of Camp and Medin for your support. I do want to share with you, I have some time this morning, and we did read that passage about the spiritual warfare, and we will get there, but I want to move us someplace else before we get there. And so as I share this morning with you, I'm sharing at myself more than I'm sharing with you, because what I have to share is a great reminder for myself as I head into this summer. Growing up as a kid, there was a boy who was a year younger than me that lived up the road in our subdivision. And Kevin Beckwith was a year younger, but he was, I know this is hard to believe, but he was taller than me. I know it's hard to believe. He probably had a good foot on me. And when Kevin and I, we were good friends, we started wrestling. I was pretty wiry, although he was taller. I could pin that dude to the ground. And I would pin him to the ground, and I would take my knees, and I would put him on his arms, and get him right down, sit on his chest, and then I would thump on his chest like this until he cried mercy. It was great. And I went away for a year, and I came back, and Kevin had not just grown, but he put on some significant muscle. And so we wrestled again. And this time, it was the opposite. And he had me down, he was on my chest, he had my arms pinned, he was thumping on my chest like this, and I was saying, mercy, 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 and he was just laughing. Ha, 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 ha. I'm getting you back all those times, and just pounded on my chest. As I think about that, I think about how in our life that we live as Christians, there are times that I have felt that sin has me pinned down. And it's got me there. And it's like, you're going to cry mercy because I've got control over you. And that's not the picture that God has for us. That's not what God wants in our own lives. Some years ago, many years ago, I was struggling with my health. I had low energy. My body ached. I wasn't sleeping well. I'd work, and by around 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I was exhausted. So I went to the doctor, and I visited my doctor, and she said, well, you know, maybe we'll send you off here and here. And so I went to different places and different specialists. And each specialist was saying, well, it could be this, it could be that, and maybe if you took this medication or you took that medication, and I'm not really a medication guy. And so I tried to stay away from that. Well, I had a friend, or a guy that I met, actually, who became friends, and he said to me, Scott, you should start running. And I laughed at him. And he goes, no, seriously, you should start running. And I help people I train people to run, and I could help you. I could put you on a program to run. And okay. So I started to run. And you know, as I started to run, I realized there was two ways to run. A person could run and they could be very relaxed and enjoy it, or you could run with great tension and kind of just, I don't know. And I started running that way. I started running and I was tense and I wasn't really enjoying it. And I was talking to my friend and he says, you're relaxed, just enjoy. And so I began to relax and enjoy the run, and the runs became fun. And they became enjoyable, and they became life-giving. And all of a sudden, I went from not sleeping to sleeping very well. I went from an aching body to not aching at all. And I really, what it was is I was not dealing well with the anxiety, the pressure, the tension, the stress of my job. And that was helping me. And so I thought about this in my own Christian life, and I thought about the fact that God wants us to rest. He wants us to rest. And so here's what I've come up with, is that is that I can rest in him, and he's got something for me to do, and I can run and I can do that resting, or I can run and be running away from him. And that's running with tension. And that's not what he wants. So I've done this. I've done a little acrostic for us today. And it's, are you running or resting? Are you on the run from God, or are you resting in him? So if you would turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 10. 2 Chronicles chapter 10. This is the story about Rehoboam. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 10, the story about Rehoboam is a very interesting story. He is the son of Solomon. He's coming into the kingship. And so his dad's now out of the picture. And Rehoboam is there in the picture. And he's going to take over. And so he wants some advice. What should I do next? How should I treat the people? And so he goes to his dad's advisor, and they give him a counsel. And they say to him, listen, your dad, he reigned with a heavy hand, and we're saying to you, lighten it up. Lighten it up, and if you lighten it up, the people will follow you. And so then he went to his younger crew, the younger people, and he said, what do you think? And they said, listen, your dad, he had his thumb on him. You need to have it so hard on him. It's like your thumb is like your waist, the size of your waist. Like, you need to put more pressure on them. So here's the first thing. If you and I are not resting in God, but we're running away from God, the first thing I see is that we reject wise counsel. And if you look at Rehoboam here, here is a man who his dad did in his early days, sought to follow God. And Rehoboam takes over kingship, and he rejects the wise counsel. And in 2 Chronicles 2, chapter 10, it says that he rejected that. And if you read the story, the people actually rebelled. That's when the kingdom divided, was at that point in time. But he rejected wise counsel. I have found that in my own life that I need to slow down. I need to listen to what is being said around me, and I need to hear the wise counsel and make those wise decisions. I have at times found myself talking with couples who are struggling in their marriage, in their relationship. And the ones who are willing to listen to the counsel that had been given to them, their marriage is restored, their marriage is strengthened. The wise counsel. You, in the run. In 2 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse, chapter, excuse me, 2 Chronicles chapter 11 and in verse 5, it says this. It says, Rehoboam remained in Jerusalem and fortified various towns for his defense of Jerusalem. And then we move down to verse 11, and it says, Rehoboam strengthened their defenses and stationed commanders in them, and he stored up supplies of food, olive oil and wine. I think the other thing that happens when we're running away from God is that we're not reliant on God. We're unreliant on God. And Rehoboam here starts to strengthen himself. And there's nothing wrong with preparing. There's nothing wrong with fortifying. But when you're not doing it with God, you're not reliant on God, there is something wrong with that. And I believe that we begin to become confident in ourselves. That's why in Proverbs 16:18 says, pride comes before destruction. Or Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. After I started to do some running and I did a marathon, I thought, this is way too much work. And I should do something easier, so I decided to start doing some triathlons. Olympic size. Not the Ironman size. If you've ever done an Ironman, man, good on you. That is incredible. The Olympic size are not too bad. You swim a kilometer and a half. That's not bad. You bike 40 kilometers and you run 10 kilometers, all in just a matter of hours. Very good. Well, I tell people that I am not a swimmer. I do a very good job of not drowning. That's how I am. And it was noticeable because when I first started to get into the pool and do my non-drowning thing, I brought my son along with me, who is a lifeguard, and I said, "Will you teach me how to swim?" And so he goes, "Sure, Dad." So we jumped in the pool, and he goes, "This is how you do it." And I started to swim, and I made it just, I was wise. I got just to the edge of the deep end, and I stopped. And he goes, what are you stopping for? I said, "I don't know if I can make it the rest of the way without drowning." I had to catch my breath. But really, I practiced, and before you knew it, I was actually moving myself through the water for a kilometer and a half. And I thought I was doing pretty good. And one day I jumped in the pool in my practice time, and I'm swimming, and there's this guy next to me, and he is probably 20 years older than me, and he is probably 20 pounds heavier than me. And that dude is going, and he's just whoom down, and whoom back, and he's back, and he's forth. How in the world is he doing that? And so we stop at the end of the pool, and we start chatting back and forth, and he looks at me, he goes, "You're not a swimmer, are you?" No, how could you tell? And he goes, "You swim with brute force." He says, "I watch you." He says, "You do it," but he says, "There's nothing fluid about what you do at all. I mean, you're just doing it with all muscle, no technique. And you're just relying on that." And he says, "You must be tired when you get out of the pool." "Yeah, but it's a good tired." This is what God has called us to, is to be reliant on Him. And we're not reliant on Him. We're unreliant on Him. We're using our own strength. We're doing it our own way. We may be getting there. I was able to do a kilometer and a half. I haven't drowned yet. But I'm not doing it the way it was designed. God's designed for us to be reliant on Him and not unreliant on Him. My last in the run is this, and that is being non-attentive to God. If you were to look there in verse 1 of chapter 12, it says that when Rehoboam was firmly established and strong, he abandoned the law of the Lord. Not attentive to God. He was on his own strength. Now, I have a family member who there was a time in their life where they were talking about what God was doing in their own life. They were talking about the miracles that God was doing. They were talking about how they saw God show up. And it was very exciting to listen to them and to hear them. And then they come to a point, and I'm not certain all that took place, but they came to a point to tell me that I don't know if I believe in God anymore. And they will tell me today that they, you know, it's okay. I'm doing good. I don't need God. I'm doing good. I look at their life and I think, you're not doing good at all. But we can come to a place that when we're not attentive to God, and I think this person was not attentive to God. They did not stay close to God. That time in prayer, that time in God's word, that time around people who know the Lord. You know what I like about church? I like the people. Because we need one another. You need the people around you. That's the way God designed it. He designed it to be a community. And it reflects the community of who He is. And when we abandon that community, we abandon the ability for that accountability. We abandon that ability for someone to rub us the wrong way. I know that never happens in this church. I know, right, pastors? That never happens in this church, that anybody ever rubs anybody the wrong way.
Amen, brother. But we need that. You need to be rubbed the wrong way. That does something to us that causes us to be closer to God. It does. And I know church can be a tough place, can't it? It can eat you up and spit you out at times. Because we have this expectation that everybody here is perfect and nobody ever says anything that is wrong or ever does anything that is wrong. And when they do, we become disappointed and they can spit us up, eat us up and spit us out. But God designed church, community. And when we start stepping away from that, are reliant on God, our ability to not be attentive to Him starts to take place. Well, let me move forward here because I think this is a good place. So I told you that I started running, and as I started running, I did that run-walk thing. I walked more than I ran. That was really good. And then the guy, he turned the tables and he wanted me to run more than I was walking. And then all of a sudden I was running and not walking. And I got down and I said, well, I'm done with that. And he goes, great. He says, you should train for a half marathon. And as I was brain dead, I guess. I said, sure. And so I did. I trained for this half marathon. I ran that and I got done. I said, well, what do you think next? He says, you should do a marathon. And I said, okay. Sure, why not? So within a year of starting to run, I went and I ran a marathon. But I had my longest run out there. I started running. And I got up that morning and I thought, okay, I'm going to do this run. And I was a little bit behind and I wanted to try to catch up. Never want to do that. You want to stay to schedule. And so I was catching up. I was going to run 38 kilometers that day. And I got up in the morning and I took off running. And I got halfway to the halfway point. I was an out and back, and I turned around and started coming back. And at that point, I was feeling pretty good. And I got about 14 kilometers from home, and I was out of water. And I thought, well, not a big deal. So I went to a door. I knocked on a stranger's door, and I asked for some water. And this girl gave her my water bottle, and she took it, and she filled it up. And I grabbed it, and I started to drink that water. And I got almost to the end of the driveway, and I was almost done with that water. And I knew then I was in trouble. And I kept on running. And I was about 6 kilometers away from home. And as I got to about that point in time, I stopped again for some water. And I should have been smart, and I should have just said, because now I'm at a friend's place. And I should have said to him, Doug, can you just drive me home? And I didn't. And I got water, I drank out of the hose like crazy, and then I took my water bottle, filled it up, and I kept on running, and then walking, and then running, and then walking. And I didn't have enough fuel, I didn't have enough food. And now I stop. I am 900 meters away from home. One last stretch, and I stopped on the side of the road, and I sat down on the curb. Just to rest a little bit. And I didn't think I could make it the rest of the way. I didn't think that I could actually push on. I willed myself to get up, and somehow I made it. Stupid, I shouldn't have. But I made it the rest of the way home. I was wrecked. It was everything I could do to walk in the house. And I just laid there. My muscles were spasming and all that stuff. And I did great damage, actually, to my Achilles tendons. I can't run long distances anymore. Running and resting and doing it right. So let me give you the other side of it. In Matthew 11, 28 and 30, it says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. For my burden... My burden is light and my load, my burden is, come on, I had it there. My burden is easy and my load is light. So in the rest is this. I believe that when we are resting with God, the first thing that happens is we resist sin. Ephesians, we read that passage in Ephesians. Put on the full armor of God. Or 1 Corinthians 10:13. And it talks there about no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. I would say to each of us, and I would say to me, as I head into this camping season, as you head into this summer season or whatever's happening in your life, we need to find ourselves resisting sin. And that's resting in God. As I put on the full armor of God, it is literally saying, Lord, I need your protection in my life. I need your strength. I need to stand firm against the enemy because the enemy will come. I need to look at resisting the temptation that comes my way. And God says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me. And so I would encourage you, I would encourage myself that we need to find ourselves resisting the sin that so easily entangles us so that we could run that race with endurance that God has for us. E is this in the rest. Engage with God. Engage with God. I know that whenever I am struggling with my relationship with God, I have found that it's because I have not been engaging with Him. That engagement in which I am talking with Him and He is talking to me, where I am spending time with Him. George Mueller has written this in some of his writings. He wrote one day that I look at my day, my next day, and it is so busy. I have so much that I need to get done that I need to get up an hour early to spend time with God. I think George Mueller was an incredible man, and I think he was one of a kind in many ways. And I don't put that burden on me that I need to be like George Mueller. But what I do look at is I do see that when I am busy, it is easy for me to put something to the side, and that oftentimes is my engagement with God, my time with God. And if we want to find ourselves resting and not running from God, but resting in God, you and I need to find ourselves engaged with God. The S in rest is surrender our will. Come, he says. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I need to come to God. You need to come to God and rest in Him and surrender in Him and say, here you go, Lord. Here is my life. Here is my life. And I will surrender my will to you. The T is to trust God's plan. To trust God's plan. I appreciate what was said this morning, that we think that it should be easy. As you talked about what's happening in this community, and Jesus is Lord, or God is Lord, and that is so true. He is Lord in the good times, and He's Lord in the bad times, and trusting God in both of those times can be difficult, but in the bad times, it is hard to say, not to say, God, what are you doing? Where are you? Why did you allow this to happen? I have been there. And I don't think, for me as a pastor, spending 18 years in ministry, one of the hardest funerals I ever had to do was with a child. And go, why? Why? A friend of mine, Jesse, him and his wife started to attend the church, and she was in the midst of her cancer treatment. 4 children. And she is battling cancer. And if any of you have been in that, you understand that. I've lost Kevin Beckwith. I mentioned him earlier. Married my sister. He died of melanoma cancer at 34 years old. T- tough place to be next to my sister when he took his last breath. And now I'm with this fellow Jesse, and we're becoming good friends, and his wife is dying of cancer. And Jesse, in the midst of it, said this: God's got a plan. And I hear Jesse say that time and time again: God's got a plan, God's got a plan. And I was trying to encourage him as a pastor: yes, he does, yes, he does. But my worry was, is what happens if his wife dies? Is Jesse going to say God's got a plan? His wife does die. And Jesse, as we sat and we wept together, and he looked at me and he says, God's got a plan. I know that, Scott. I know that, Scott. He taught me how to trust in God's plan, even in those difficult times. Didn't bring his wife back. Didn't take away some of the troubles with his children that they have with losing their mother. But they are all trusting God. And I think it's because Jesse trusted God. So as I finish up, because I've gone a little over, we could be like Rehoboam, and we could be running from God. We could be running from God. And if we're running from God, we simply look within our own life and we say, am I rejecting the wise counsel around me? Am I not reliant on God? Am I not being attentive to God? Or am I resting in God? Which is, I'm resisting sin. I'm engaged with God. I'm surrendering myself to him, and I'm trusting his plan. So coming back, camp, pray that we will find ourselves resting in him and not running from him. Let me pray. Lord, this morning, as there's been a lot shared here this morning, Lord, it's not a mistake that you have placed this church in this community. It's not a mistake that you have placed these people in this church, in this community. Lord, whatever is happening even within these four walls with these folks, Father, I pray that there would be a resting in you. A great resting in you. And not a running from you, Lord. I pray for what is to come for camp. That you would help me as the executive director to lead the staff and the volunteers to rest in you. And then, Lord, wherever you call us, whatever you want us to do, we will find ourselves following that. Thank you for who you are and that you never change. In Jesus' name, amen.